Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Wednesday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Geico Studios. And here I was, all set, Mike. We're all set to, all right, we're going to start out. We're going to talk about Joe Kelly's suspension, getting 8 games for throwing behind Alex Bregman last night, throwing knuckle curves near to Correa, near to Yuli Gurriel. All right, we're going to break this down. It's a big story. We got a big MLB insider coming up in a few minutes, okay? Dodgers and Astros going at it again tonight. No fisticuffs yet. All set to do that. And well, the thing is, I don't know. Are we going to get a real brawl, or would it be a social distancing brawl? Because guys coming out of the dugout without masks, I don't think they're going to fight. You got to have a mask on if you're going to fight. I think you get thrown out of the game before fighting if you don't have a mask on, if you come out to fight. I think that's how
it goes. Right. Especially after this suspension. I mean, you don't want to get after anyone. I mean, they must have really been mad at the Miami Marlins. So anything that took away from, hey, we need to plan on COVID-19 is, screw you, you get 8 games. That funny face that made a meme and T-shirts and merch all over the place. No, so you're bad for baseball. That's the message from Rob Manfred. No fighting thus far. Some unpleasant looks at one another. I mean, and this is one where we should do lip reading for the guys in the dugouts of what they're saying to each other. Or we just create our own cartoon based on this, and the thought bubbles in their head, we fill those in.
Oh, so we could be like 20, 30 years ago where the artist, you know, you looked at the big sports funny drawing of the day in the back page of the newspaper. Oh, look at this. That's pretty funny right there. Because I used to like doing that like 20, 30 years ago. That was fun. We'll bring that back.
Why not? Everything old is new again. Let's go. Bring it to it. We're the voice of the next generation. Let's go.
I forgot about how much fun that was in the newspaper. You look at what's the big sports comic of the day, and it's one pick. And you look, growing up in New York, it was always about Steinbrenner. It was always, anyway, called him General Von Steingrabber, and it was like he was dressed up like he was in the army, and he was, you know, whatever crazy ass stuff he would say, like players need to get haircuts or cut their mustaches, whatever it was. It would always be something in there. And like, it was stuff like him going through, like, finally when the Mets were good, it's him dressed up, and he's got a shopping cart, and he's going through the produce aisle going, any strawberries? And there's like Daryl Strawberry, like sitting in the, you know, amongst strawberries, he's going to grab him to put him in. I forgot, we could bring that back, because I think that's a fun thing that I miss from growing up, that we can bring that back.
There you go. It is time.
However, something happened that we have to pause this conversation for a few minutes.
Okay.
Because what has just come out, I can't understand it. And this is, I'm not understanding the experts is bad. And this is not a COVID-19 thing. This is not anything. And this is not political. No, I don't
there's
understand
no Fauci
the experts
here.
Yo, no, there's no Fauci. There's no first ball being thrown out. No, there's no Deborah Burks. There's no anything. No. It's not that. The NFL Network top 100 players, the top of the list has just been revealed. All right, these are the top 100 players in the NFL voted on by the players. Right, so these are the players who are voting, saying these are the best players in the National Football League. Okay, I can't believe Sam Darnold is only number 2. Here's what I can't believe. Here's the list, and I'm looking at it, and at first glance, you go, "Oh well, here's the best players in the league." I get it. Then you're like, "Wait a minute." The number 1 player in the league, as voted on by the players, is Lamar Jackson. Wait a minute. Whoa, but what, Patrick Mahomes is not number 1? Hang on a second. Oh, he must be number 2. No. Russell Wilson is the number 2 player in the National Football League, according to the players. All right, well, Patrick Mahomes has to be 3rd, right? He's got to be 3. These guys are good quarterbacks. No. Aaron Donald is 3rd.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes has to be 4th, right? I mean, he's got to be 4th, right? No. Denzel Mims, Jets wide. No, actually, Patrick Mahomes is 4th. Patrick Mahomes
the
somehow.
Rookie wide receiver. Now, that would have been an upset.
Hasn't caught a pass. Oh, he's great.
We were looking at the game tape.
Somehow, Patrick Mahomes is fourth on the list by NFL players as the best player in the NFL. How is he not number one? I don't understand how he's not the player that is not viewed by the rest of the league as being the best player in the NFL with everything he's accomplished. All right, 2 years as a starter in the league, 50 touchdowns his first year, Super Bowl championship in the second year. He would have been at the very top of every single statistic in the NFL, but he missed a couple of games. Oh, by the way, he came back fast from his injury, but it's not like he had a bad year. He was still 26-5. His quarterback rating was up near 110, and he finishes the year by winning the Super Bowl. So first year, 50 touchdowns. Second year, in the league leaders with everything at NFL, wins the Super Bowl, and somehow he is fourth. Somehow. The only thing I can think of is that there is some kind of league-wide bias against Patrick Mahomes for an unknown reason. Because there's no way you can sit here with a straight face and tell me Mahomes is not the best quarterback in the NFL right now. That Mahomes is not the best player in the NFL. If you could have your pick of any one of these players to start a team, you could have Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes. Every single person picks Patrick Mahomes. Nobody picks anybody else. Lamar Jackson, as good as he is, has 2 years of playoff failure. Right now, look, I know Lamar Jackson. I told you he was going to be at least a Pro Bowl player this past year. Turns into the NFL MVP. He is terrific. But there is a wide difference between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. In fact, if you ask the Ravens and put them up on lie detector saying, would you rather have Lamar or Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback? They would go, oh, dude, I love Lamar, but man, dude, I got to have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't understand this list. I really, unless it's made for controversy, but these are the players that are voting this. And how the players don't vote Mahomes number one, I don't get it.
Well, I just wonder, is there any weighting to it, right? If you're a multiple Pro Bowl player or all pro yourself, does your vote count more than someone who's only been in the league for a year or two and hasn't had any accolades? I mean this sincerely, in terms of, you know, are all votes equal? Because if that's the case, then, you know, it makes it even more curious. Now, with Patrick Mahomes, I think to some degree, maybe they say, well, there's a lot of other component parts there. There's a celebration of Andy Reid, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas with Lamar Jackson, like, all right, good running game, but from the receiver perspective, you know, you've got some guys that are rising. You know, you look at Hollywood, but, you know, they don't have the steady as you go true number one. So Lamar gets a little bit of a bump there. Look, the quarterback position on this list has been controversial all the way through. Going back to Josh Allen was ahead of Kyler Murray, and both of them were inside the top 100. You had Jimmy Garoppolo at number 43. That got a lot of people wringing their hands. Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott or all those guys where they were. And now you add this up at the top. I mean, because you had to jam Aaron Donald in there, right?
I get it. Look, he's up there, but you had
to break the quarterback. Sure. You couldn't have it all quarterbacks there.
I'm okay with that, but quarterback is the most important position. It does affect everything else. Aaron Donald can't turn the Rams from an okay team into a great team by himself, but a quarterback can do it, and Mahomes has turned the Chiefs from, boy, they were a pretty good team to, boy, look, they're going to win two or three more Super Bowls in the next 5 or 7 years. And it's not like he hasn't accomplished stuff. There's so many questions for Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he was great. But, boy, playoff failures, that's going to really sting 2 years for him. Look, I know how good he is, and you know how good he is, but you're splitting hairs here. It's Patrick Mahomes over Lamar. What does Patrick Mahomes need to do? What did he need to do to be able to surpass Lamar Jackson? We went crazy for Lamar Jackson last year. Guy threw 35 touchdowns. Mahomes threw 50 in his first year as a starter. 55-0. 5-0.
Well, that was 2 years ago, though, so that doesn't factor in here.
But this year he won the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl this year. Super Bowl.
There's some anger and jealousy that comes into here. They're pissed off that he's got $500 million in partial ownership of the Royals.
Really? You think somebody else wanted to own the Royals? Oh, sorry. Too soon? I got to get my rent for 2015.
Hey, man. Hey, like anything, you need information. You need to know how things work. So start with your starter team of the Kansas City Royals.
Your starter
team. Get a piece
team.
Of that. Get me all the information. And then maybe I upgrade eventually where I'm the head name like a Kevin Garnett and I'm going after a big-time franchise. Yeah? Maybe.
Are there realtors for that? Where, hey, what are you in the market for? Well, I have a lot of money, but I don't have like Yankee money, but I got Royals money. Oh, okay. Sure. Hey, well, how about you buying the Royals? And then when you're ready to step up, you have a realtor saying, hey, now let's show you these teams in this neighborhood. All right. Now you want to see, this is the Holmby Hills of Major League Baseball. Here's the Yankees are up here. The Dodgers are up here. This is where you want to live.
But think about it. Patrick Mahomes is young. You get a nice rate of return on your investment, not only with the Royals, but the other money start flowing in. And before long, before he retires, he may have enough money to say, hey, I want to be, you know, half owner or third owner or be the face of a group. I mean, you saw how much Magic Johnson made when he was part of the Dodgers organization briefly before he sold his shares off. He made a killing. So here, same deal. Try the baseball TV revenue keeps rising, and that's it. I've now turned it into an economics lesson of how to parlay your money into other things. But the idea being, maybe people are a little salty at Patrick Mahomes, so he didn't get their vote, and he seemed to have more weapons at his disposal. Now, one of them opted out today in Damian Williams, but between Kelce and Tyreek Hill and speed for days on the outside, that, you know, they said, ah, you got enough. Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson over here, yeah, they got nothing. Just go. Even though you have DK Metcalf and some pretty hefty receivers there. But, you know, hey, it's okay.
Lamar Jackson can't even buy the Rays. Come on, man. He can't even do that. Aaron Donald can't even buy an MLS team. You can't do any of that. I mean, the rest of the list is, look, I get that sometimes lists are made for controversy, but there's something going on with this that we really don't know about. Because I look at the rest of this and go, okay, here's some of the best players. George Kittle, really? I mean, he's a really good tight end. He's a really good tight end. Is he really the seventh best player in the National Football League? Would you rather have George Kittle or DeAndre Hopkins? You'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins. Would you rather have George Kittle or Stephon Gilmore? You'd rather have Stephon Gilmore. I mean, Kittle's a good player, but really he's the seventh best player? I look at this list and I go, did this really happen, or was this one of those lists where, well, we say that the players voted, but really we just put it together, you know, us here. It's, hey, what would cause a lot of controversy? Let's pat ourselves on the back because we got people talking about it.
Yeah, but there's video clips of guys talking about these players. I mean, that's got to legitimize it, doesn't it?
This is why Patrick Mahomes is the fourth best player in the National Football League. Wait, it looks like he said first. No, he said fourth. No, but it looked like you dubbed out the answer. Play it again. Patrick Mahomes is the
fourth
best player in the National Football League. Yeah, no, you dubbed it in there. I don't understand it.
It's like going to Krusty Land the way you did that. That was good.
And everything on Twitter now is this. Well, you know, Red Sox and the Mets are trending because Jacob DeGrom finally gave up a run tonight. And the Mets
just
bullpen
hit a home run. I saw it fly out of the ballpark.
Yeah, we're still losing, though, on the bottom of the eighth.
But you got out of the inning in the upper half, man. That could have gotten ugly there.
Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right. But Mets have a runner at third, nobody out. Okay, all right.
But showing, the players know what they're talking about. Tom Brady's still a top 15 player.
Well, you know what?
That's all the media honks that decided that he was terrible last year and just miserable.
No,
again,
he wasn't.
Look around and see what was there.
See, I disagree with Brady being in the top 15 because Brady is in the top 15 for reputation and expectation. That's why he's in the top fiend, because of what he's done throughout his career. Okay, fine, I get it. Brady's there. But when you look at what he did last year, the guy's barely hanging on as a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He just wasn't that great. I mean, Brady, there's so many players. I mean, his quarterback rating last year wasn't even in the top half of the NFL. He wasn't suddenly someone who was winning a lot of games. The first 8 weeks was all because their defense scored two touchdowns a week, and that's how they were winning games. And then when the defense turned back into the defense, hey, we're good, but we're not that good. What happened? The Patriots started losing. And, you know, but everybody expects Brady to be great. I expect him to be good, you know, this year with Tampa Bay. I've said that many times, but is he really the – I don't know that he's one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. He's in the middle of one of the top 15 players.
Throw the holy water over your devil mouth right now. What are you doing?
And here's the thing is, and I don't, and listen, and it's not like Brady, you can't say, oh, you just hate Brady. No, I don't. Brady's not in my division anymore. I don't care. I hope he does well. He's in the NFC.
No,
I don't
care.
It doesn't matter. No.
It's still there from the times that he walked all over you.
Hey, life is too short to have residual hate. I mean, you should have hate.
Don't get me wrong. Have hate. Hate is great. Hate works. But you don't have residual hate. That's no good. That doesn't do anybody any good. If you residual hate, then you're never going to be happy. So I hate. It was, you know, a good two decades of it as a fan. But now I'm not. Now it's okay. Now it's all right. Now I got to move on to Josh Allen now. I got to move on to Tua Tagovailoa now. I got to move on to these other players.
But, you know, one of the greatest lessons in life you can learn goes back to one of the animated classics I know you watched 9 billion times over the last 5-6 years. Start singing a little Let It Go with me. Let it go. And then you'd build your starter home in Kansas City, buy that franchise, and then double down when the Mets become available again.
That's be another 25 years before the Mets become available.
Well, yeah, you don't know. What it's gonna
be. Well, no, usually that's what it is, about every 25 years. But I got some money. I can look, A-Rod and J-Lo are borrowing from everybody. You know, anybody who played sports in the 90s or the aughts, they're, hey, you got some money for us? We want to buy the Mets. They're all doing it. I mean, I got a little bit of money for them. I could do it that way.
There you go.
But
parlay.
Just to let you know, what did Patrick Mahomes think of this list? All right, the list got out about 15 minutes ago, and 8 minutes ago, Patrick Mahomes tweeted out a emoji of a pencil on a notepad, like, I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes, I'm number four, right? Because if he was happy, he would go, hey, glad to see I'm number four, or he would have ignored it. But now, really, I'm fourth? Okay, I'm taking notes. You players think I'm fourth? I'm taking notes. So good for you, Patrick Mahomes. Good for you for all of that. I cannot. That is such a disrespect to Mahomes by players around the league. It's got to be something we don't know about this list. That's the only thing I could think of that makes sense. You know, really, whether it's some kind of hatred or jealousy for Mahomes that we don't know about, or the list was manufactured just to draw attention to it and have conversation, which, of course, the NFL right now is patting themselves on the back going, yeah, we got it. That doesn't make sense.
So what was the meme, the one that they put his head over Ryan in the office, BJ Novak? Because I've seen that one make the rounds before, where he's writing into a notebook and then it ends. So good times. Hey, you know what? Lists and more lists. You thought we were going to get all the way through the month without a list. There it is. July 29th. Lock it down.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Before the games begin, let me just say this, because I am a frequent critic of Adam Silver, because the guy just does whatever the players want him to do. And it's a big deal that he can't stand up and do the right thing, even when he's faced with something like Mark Cuban keeping a domestic abuser on staff rather than firing him and letting everybody know about it. It's very difficult for me to do it. But so, you know, when I'm giving Adam Silver props for something, the guy deserves it. All right. Now, baseball's dealing with the coronavirus situation now. What's going to happen with the Marlins? Are they going to be able to play in a week? What are the Phillies going to be able to play? They're loading them up with doubleheaders and games this weekend, and hopefully they can get back on track soon as they try to get their season restarted. The NBA announced today they had zero positive COVID-19 tests. You would assume that includes Lou Williams, but I don't know if he was tested. I don't know. Maybe you got to wait. He tests positive for wings. I know that. But zero positive
lemon
COVID-19
pepper
tests. I see the lemon pepper residue. I see that. You know what I like? The people were tweeting out pictures of the wings from there. Hey, you got to get wings here. Look at the wings. They look good. Oh, okay. Oh, now I get it.
The
so the wings
publicity.
Look good.
Are you kidding me?
So since July 20th, they have had zero positive COVID-19 tests. All right. This gets bigger than sports for a minute. First of all, this is why I became a bubble convert, because this has the greatest chance to succeed, because you have the league in charge of the players. This is not the players that can go out and make bad decisions whenever they want to. Look, Rutgers, we found out today, their football team's in trouble. Why? Because they all went out to a bar at night. You have to trust that 20 and 30-somethings are going to make the correct decision to be able to play sports. And the NBA is saying, we're going to take that out of your hands as much as possible, because we're going to be in charge. And the bubble is working. I have no doubt. Anything in a bubble, we're going to see through till the end. We'll see the NBA through to the end, the NHL through to the end, MLS's back tournament, everything else, we're going to see it through. The bubble works. This is why I'm a bubble convert. But this gets bigger than sports, because doesn't this show us that quarantining and wearing masks works? Doesn't this show us that? Because this is what the NBA is saying. This is why people are upset about the snitch line. Oh, I wasn't wearing a mask. No, wear a mask so you can be safe, right? That's kind of what it is. Here's the NBA bubble. You have taken players from 22 teams that were out doing who knows what before they got to the bubble. And if they're anything like Lou Williams, you're going to a strip club, you're going home, you're getting wings, you're doing this. They were who knows what they were doing. And they're in the bubble now, and there are zero positive COVID-19 tests. This shows you masks and quarantining works. Whatever else you want to say, that this is bigger than sports for a moment, because this shows you this is the path to getting rid of COVID-19. And because we want cures to be politicized and everything else, we lose focus of let's get rid of COVID-19. Quarantine and wear a mask. Look at what the NBA has done. In 10 days in Florida, an entire league, zero COVID-19 tests. All right, so let's just have some respect, and I understand what Adam Silver has done here has been phenomenal. It's incredible to be at this point getting ready to start opening night where everybody is good. And I know I'm not going to have to wake up tomorrow morning and worry about NBA players testing positive for COVID-19 and say, oh, here's the first game, is because they're all negative. They're all negative. They've been in the bubble. And this is working. All right. I can't say enough about Adam Silver and getting this bubble thing going on and the job the NBA has done. It has been absolutely fantastic.
No, you celebrate it, right? When it was initially thrown out, there weren't many details. And it was like, what are we talking about? Like, what's the idea? Who's going to agree to this was really the idea. But as you and I discussed, when it all comes down to it, I will always try to figure out what the financial incentives are for players in the leagues and cut to the chase there. Everything else becomes all right, devil's in the detail kind of proposition, right? With the NFL, players are opting out. A lot of them have made some money and have decided, okay, I can step back, right? Like the latest Damian Williams stepping out, Super Bowl ring, made some cash in the NFL. In a better position to do that. And for a lot of guys, well, they're not. But when the NBA approached this, and remember, they already had that nearly $500 million loss because of the incidents with China and the Daryl Morey tweet and all of that to start the season, well, you've got a big incentivizer right there to get it done. Not to mention LeBron James, his age, where they are in seeding. It all plays together as a perfect storm of, all right, we got to try this, and we've got an opportunity. And as we could see, pretty much everybody bought in. Dwight Howard got nailed because he was posting videos of himself walking around without the mask.
But I
agree.
Not everybody is going to be the best carrier of the message that this is what's smart. You're going to get your, but even your detractors are testing negative for COVID-19.
No, but that's the point. Even when he came out, his logic, I thought, was sound. It's like, we're protected in here. And everybody's been tested. And everybody's negative. So in theory, we're good, right?
Right, but he's got to understand that, okay, there needs to be a two-week period of that. If it was, yeah, hey, we're all test negative, but wait a minute, but the virus, as we know, you show symptoms 2 weeks later sometimes. So once you're in the bubble, and everybody's been there for 2 weeks, and not having people leaving and coming back, then absolutely, you're fine. You should be fine.
Right.
And the mask is not that big a deal.
Yeah, but at least his logic flowed of, hey, here's where we are. Now, should he have waited another couple days before hitting Instagram and everything to talk about it? Yes. Do you have some guys like Michael Porter Jr. who are causing a ruckus with some of their commentary of COVID-19 and what it is and governmental influence? I'll leave you to go and research that, America, yourself as we go through. But yeah, I mean, they've built what's a pretty good beast. I was fearful of the Walt Disney World employees, regardless of what protocols were in place. The ability to go home, see your family, go out, and then come back seemed like a variable you didn't need a higher coefficient on if you could help it. But thus far, it's worked. And so now it's plan the work the plan. And for the 8-game sprint for some of these teams, come in, do your job, make it a business trip, and get the hell out. And then you can go back home and do whatever you want, because the next season ain't starting till Christmas time. For the rest of the players, especially on those contending teams, then yeah, it's going to get a little more difficult. And you might start hearing the rumor mill of what's going on. Guys going crazy there. You know, kind of like Steve Buscemi. He said he was, you know what I mean? I'm going crazy out there by the lake. You mean Moose Lake? Yeah. I mean, what else other could it be? running Fargo lines, showing you where we're at here.
I've been listening to your blank blank all week. The guy, Peter Stormer, didn't even have a line. I've been listening to your blank blank
just
all
sat
week.
There smoking. Like that lady we talked about last hour. All he did was smoke. But to that point is you know, at some point you get a little nervous once we get to month two, month three, but the stakes have changed, and maybe they're getting better stakes. But just the idea that now you're headlong and focused on potentially winning a title, then maybe the potential for nefarious deeds and chaos goes down. But as we sit right now, yeah, the NBA has worked the perfect system. Baseball proposed it. Remember, I mean, that's one thing you got to give Manfred credit for. Major League Baseball did try to propose. Now, it was Arizona and Florida, and you can infer whatever you want from that. But it was at least, hey, here's what we could do, and it was rejected by the players. So that's why you have the system you do. Likewise, football players, as we get things rolling, still a lot of variables. We still have four more days to see who else opts out. It's going to be a fascinating 96 hours.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
One guy who's going to be cooped up for at least 8 games is Joe Kelly, as today we found out his penalty for throwing over the head of Alex Bregman, inside and over the head of Carlos Correa and Yuli Gurriel, will be that 8 games. The penalty levied today by Commissioner Rob Manfred, manager Dave Roberts serving his suspension tonight. So it's done as the Dodgers win this game in 13 innings, 4-2 over the Astros. So Dave Roberts will be back managing tomorrow. But Joe Kelly gets 8 games. Two big thoughts on this. The first one is, we told you last night it was going to be a heavy suspension because Rob Manfred wants to get a lid on this. And if I have a heavy suspension once, maybe I don't have to do it again, because this is the equivalent of Joe Kelly getting 22 games, which is not right. Now, did Joe Kelly throw dangerously behind the head of Alex Bregman, throwing a 96-mile-an-hour fastball up above the shoulders? Yes, that was dangerous. And I get that part of it. But 22 games, and the effect of this is going to be the opposite of what Rob Manfred intended. He cannot get this situation right if he tried. It looks like he's protecting the Astros again with, okay, now I'm going to make sure nobody throws at you. They cheated the game, won the World Series. He went light on their punishment. No players got punished. These are the ones who are actually benefiting by this. The GM and the manager get suspended for a year, and it was the team that knew they had to fire both of them. This is Rob Manfred completely blowing this, defining his legacy in Major League Baseball, because that's what this is. He's got the rest of the Major League Baseball really pissed off at him because he blew it. So what does he do now? He looks like he's protecting the Astros again. So instead of telling the rest of the Major League Baseball, hey, listen, we're done with the Astros, this is just going to upset other teams, Joe Kelly, the Dodgers, even more, and make the animosity greater. Now they're going to look ways to get even, which could be even more physical. I'm going to get even spikes up on the base pass with Bregman, spikes up on Altuve. Wait till you see what happens. Wait till you see what happens on this play. And it could get even worse. Baseball has policed itself greatly for well over 100 years. Well, before Rob Manfred showed up with his, well, we got to have pace of play, and that's about it. And now he is protecting people who broke the laws of baseball for a long period of time and showed no remorse on it, only got figured out because finally somebody spoke up and said something. But these are the people he wants to protect. I would have gained so much respect for Rob Manfred if he had just said, you know what, Joe Kelly, don't do it again. And that way he addresses it. And he lets people know that, hey, maybe don't do it again, but I understand what's got to happen. All he's done is pent up the frustration and how badly things have gone with the Astros situation. It reminds me of the Mets and Chase Utley, right? The Mets couldn't get revenge on Chase Utley for breaking Ruben Tejada's leg, right? The thing festers for well over a bleeping year. And finally, Noah Syndergaard throws behind him, well behind him, and he gets thrown out of a game. And suddenly the Mets look like, you'd really just screwed us. you really just, there was no suspension for Chase Utley. There was none of that. And now we throw behind him. He doesn't even get hit. And you throw my starting pitcher out of the game. The whole Terry Collins, our ass is in a jackpot now, Terry. Our ass is in a jackpot now.
Yeah.
Which is one of the funniest things in the past 10 years in sports. But it, because the Mets couldn't do it, this is what happened in baseball. This is where it stood. And there's no way it should have come to that for the Mets. They should have been able to say, okay. And Chase Utley knew, I'm going to get hit. Just don't hit me in the head. I know you got to hit me because I understand what's going on. I understand what I did because I made a dirty play, and that was a dirty play. But the Mets couldn't get the – if the Mets were allowed to, hey, we're going to police this ourselves, Chase Utley gets hit on the hip or gets one in the ribs, that's how it works. That's how baseball goes.
Yep.
And that's how baseball goes with the Astros and the Dodgers. And I can't believe that Rob Manfred, a team that has gotten – I don't want to say rooked out of it because they still didn't do enough on the field, but this team, the Dodgers, that could have won two World Series in a row, but instead the two teams that were indicted and actually got penalties for stealing signs, they're the ones who kept them from winning it all. This is a team that needs that release. They need to know we got revenge. It would have been over for the Dodgers, and maybe it's over for a few teams in Major League Baseball. Hey, Joe Kelly got them. Boy, he's our hero, Joe Kelly. We're buying him a beer next time I see him, and that would actually lessen the balloon. If Joe Kelly was allowed to do what he did last night and not get a penalty, maybe that stops a handful of teams saying, okay, Dodgers did it. Other teams are going to do it. We don't need to do it. But maybe now in the reverse happens. It's, can you believe they did that? Well, we'll make sure we take care of it. We go out there, however else we do it. Rob Manfred can't see the forest through the trees on this. And when your number one thing is protecting the cheaters, the team that did it, I don't understand how he continues to be a commissioner that everybody wants to listen to. I don't understand it.
No, I would hope that he got some strongly worded emails, texts, whatever, from other owners in Major League Baseball saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? They were owed at least this. They didn't get hit. Nobody got hurt. It's baseball the way it's been played forever. I get it in the shortened year where COVID-19's in. It's not like guys go and start swinging fists when there's a, quote, fight going on. That's pretty rare. Maybe you get the guy, the batter tackling the pitcher at the mound. But generally, it's pretty benign, right? Guys with forearm shivers back and forth and a little bit of shouting, hey, where are we going to dinner later? Hey, and it goes away. Here, you've now exacerbated it, saying, well, they got immunity. They got nothing. I mean, they made a ton of money, had to fire two guys, and get to keep their World Series. I think it's a pretty good trade. And I think that's one that every other owner in Major League Baseball would have been like, hell yeah. Get, sign me up for that. So the Dodgers, Joe Kelly became the hero, and we thought he'd pay a price. I didn't think 8 games would be it, and by the time he appeals, it'll probably go to half. But just the message of you can get away with this, which is essentially what you get now, because the next hit by pitch on an Astro, I mean, what are we going to have? Suspensions every time you pitch inside?
Yeah.
Regardless of team?
Because that's
what you've now set it up for.
Yeah. Because now if something happens and get pitched inside and hit a guy, what does that mean now? So, they're throwing at us. That's suspension. You're throwing out of the game. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Look, we talk about the suspension, you know, and you do the 2.7 multiplier that everybody's doing. But the reality is this. You're now also impacting this season. You're not just taking him out, you know, if it's 8 games over 162, okay, that sucks. You lose one of your key middle relievers and go. But you're taking him out for this level of the season for that. Like, nobody got hurt. Again, nobody got hit. And because they had an exchange of words, never mind Dusty Baker and everybody else, what they shouted at Kelly, there's nothing going back on them at all. It's ludicrous on a number of levels and really puts a stain on otherwise the excitement, right? We got the Marlins. That's a whole other thing. But the rest of baseball, just having games played and being able to watch some of this young talent getting after it and seeing how this is going to play out, watching Cano try to hit a little duck snort that gets caught to end a game. I mean, all of that stuff I'm celebrating. And then Rob Manfred goes out of his way to screw me.